Well, thank you, worship leaders. You guys did just an amazing job. I know that was a real stretch. And thank you, Jesus. Our internet held out, so well done. But we're going to jump into our final week of the Change Your Channel series. So this whole series has been about us shifting our posture, shifting our perspective, and shifting our attitude on something. And the problem is that so often we get stuck in a mindset, and it takes real intentionality to get out. And God gives us his perspective on so many areas. And sometimes we just kind of float along and figure this is the norm and this is where we need to stay. And God is calling us to something more. He's saying, you know what, there's some areas we can change our channel that are going to grow us closer in our relationship with Him. And some of the things we've talked about already, we talked about not making excuses, about being intentional and saying we do want God's best for each of us. We talked about identity. We talked about obedience. We talked about forgiveness. Last week, we talked about seeking God's counsel to determine our next step in all things, and how the Israelites so often did not wait for His counsel, but they would just shift ahead roaming it over in their head and working it out in their head over and over. And God saying, you know what, I've got the answer right here for you. Just come to me. Well, a couple of things that we asked you to consider talking to the Lord about is three questions. God, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being fantastic, how often do I consult with you about things going on in my life? And it goes on to specify some of those things. God, is there an area in my life where I've not consulted with you that you want to weigh in on? And the last question, God, what is the first or the next step you want me to take in this decision that I'm facing? And so many of you have been taking this time to be intentional in your relationship with the Lord, to spend time with Him and ask some of these questions, and then sharing your responses with Pastor Ed and I. And it's been so encouraging to hear what He's been doing in you. So now today we're going to move into a new topic. And yes, the topic is rest. Now you might go, why in the world are we going to talk about rest in a COVID-19 world? You could be on one end of the spectrum where you get to do nothing to do with rest right now. Maybe you're on the front lines and you're just trying to keep up with what's going on. Or maybe the opposite is true for you. Maybe you're in isolation and have been there for a while and you're thinking, all I do is rest, so I don't understand why this is something we need to talk about in this climate. Well, as a teenager, something I really quite enjoyed is about 12 years old, I pulled my first all-nighter. And I didn't really plan to pull my first all-nighter. I just kind of was doing stuff in my room, and I got later, and I got later, and then I thought, why not just stay up? And maybe I'll take a bike ride and go see the sunrise. And I did. And just that thought that, man, I could stay up all night, this is awesome, led to a number of years of different all-nighters, staying up late, working late. And I would say about 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I started to think, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this to myself? My body needs rest. I need rest. I'm not functioning the way I could be because I'm sleep deprived. And I started to make changes around that and really trying to turn off things a little earlier. Now, some of you who've seen me send an email at 1 in the morning, go, really? Used to be 4 in the morning. So there's been some adjustments, but rest. 2 Chronicles 36 says this: then his army burned the temple of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, burned all of the palaces, and completely destroyed everything of value. The few who survived were taken as exiles to Babylon, and they became servants of the king and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came. So the message of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah was fulfilled. The land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest, lying desolate, and the 70 years were fulfilled, just as the prophet had said. Right now, we are finding ourselves in this season of forced Sabbath, really, right? So many of us, where we're suddenly home and we're being forced to rest and we're being forced to slow down. And the scripture was shared with me this past week, and I can't help but think that all the years we've declined on taking that time to rest and taking advantage of the Sabbath that the Lord has laid out for us, if we're not being forced to make that a priority now. And it's interesting to note that in this, the land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest, lying desolate until the 70 years were fulfilled. So those Sabbaths were being counted. All of those Sabbaths they missed, God was keeping track. And, you know, God designed the Sabbath for us. It's necessary. If you think of it, when we look at physical rest, our body desperately needs that. Why wouldn't that be true in the spiritual sense? And if we look at the story of Adam and Eve, the first day of their existence was rest. They were created on day six, and then on day seven, God commanded them to rest. Well, let's look at a command you might be familiar with from Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. It says, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord God. On that day, no one in your house may do any work that includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. This is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." Now, what our tendency can be is to look at something from the Old Testament, like one of these commandments, and go, well, you know what, that sounds legalistic, and we're past that. We don't live under the law anymore. We live under grace. But the problem with that thought is that the Sabbath and also the Institute, the principle of tithing, both of those existed before the law came into existence. And I think of just our status now in this COVID-19 world. One of the things we're being asked to do repeatedly that's being emphasized for our own well-being and health is to wash our hands, right? Everywhere you go, wash your hands, sanitize your hands, wash them for 20 seconds. And I haven't seen anything in social media or in the news that says, you know what, that is just a legalistic point of view. Us having to wash our hands, they're just trying to put us into a box and they're not letting us have any fun. No, it is something that's there for our well-being. The Sabbath is a principle of God designed for our well-being. And we also need to remember that so many of God's principles are counterculture, and we buy into the culture of our world so easily because it's prevalent around us. You just need to work. You just need to keep going. You just need to push through. You need to get everything done on your to-do list, and then you can rest. But the Bible says something differently. It says we work from a place of rest. And so we need to change our channel on this whole idea of rest and what that looks like and the Sabbath. One of the greats on this topic, his name is A.J. Swoboda. That's S-W-A-B-O-D-A. And he writes a book called Subversive Sabbath. And if you get a chance to look at that or look at any of his YouTube lectures online, they're just fantastic. But AJ puts it this way in regards to this command. We have 10 commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. And he points out that as pastors and leaders in particular, and perhaps this is true for you where you work, that, you know, if you steal, you'll probably get fired. If you murder somebody, definitely gonna get fired. If you commit adultery, definitely gonna be frowned upon. In a pastor, definitely fired. However, if we work 60 hours a week, if we work ourselves to the bone, if we get everything done on our to-do list, we'll probably get a raise. That is not what God intended for us. He intended us to set apart the Sabbath day and keep it holy and enjoy that rest in Him. When we don't function from a place of rest, there's a number of things that can happen. One of those things is that we can function out of fear and exhaustion and weariness. And the problem with that is that when we're not rested, when we haven't been filled and spent that time with the Lord, we end up hiding because we don't feel up to the task. And I think that's been our default for a long time, that the church has been in hiding. And it's interesting that in this season of forced rest, it's also forcing the church and it's forcing people to come out of hiding, to do things in a different way. And I don't think God's done with that. I think there's still some people that are still hiding behind the scenes and afraid to operate in their giftings and to get out there. And as you spend time in this season of rest with the Lord, He's going to bring you out of hiding. And that's just a prophetic declaration. I believe that to be true with all my heart. Without rest, we're not equipped to respond. We react. And there is an equipping that takes place from the Lord when we spend time in rest, when we spend time waiting on Him. I shared yesterday at our ladies' breakfast that this is a scripture that's been so dear to me during these last 2 weeks and all of this, and you might be familiar with it. It's Isaiah 40:31, and it says, "Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." So my question to you is this: is your strength being renewed? Are you weary? Are you exhausted? Have you had time to wait on the Lord? Are you going forward, not fainting, but in strength? This whole concept of Sabbath, it's not age-based. The scripture just before talks about even the young men shall grow weary and shall faint. And we are not limitless. We are not limitless beings. We can't just keep going and going and going. But we do serve a limitless God, and He is capable of taking care of those things that we need to set aside to spend time with Him in rest. Ezekiel 20:23-25 says this: "But I took a solemn oath against them in the wilderness. I swore I would scatter them amongst the nations because they did not obey my regulations. They scorned my decrees by violating the Sabbath days and longing for the idols of their ancestors. And I gave them over to worthless decrees and regulations that would not lead to life." How many of you that are watching find yourself routinely stuck in a rhythm of worthless decrees and regulations that fail to refresh you and fail to bring you life? When we don't trust God with our time on that Sabbath day, when we're not willing to release our work and set it aside to make a day holy and set apart for Him, we actually demonstrate a lack of confidence in God's ability to handle things without us. We set ourselves up as indispensable. People need me, I'm needed. What if somebody tries to reach me? What if there's a crisis? And we say to God, "You know what, God, I don't think that You can handle this. I need to be present at all times." Do you trust God with your time? Do you trust Him with your work? Stewardship is giving one of your days to the Lord. And just like that principle of tithing, where we often look at it, "Oh, I have to give God 10%. And we fail to remember that He lets us keep 90 of it and it's all His anyway. The same is true of our days. They are numbered by the Lord. He gives us 6 days to do our work, to be productive in that way. And He asks for one day where we would stop and rest and engage in relationship with Him. When I think of tithing and that whole idea of financial stewardship, one of the things I consistently hear from people as they embrace that truth and they embrace that commitment and that principle is they'll say to me, "You wouldn't believe the difference it made in my life and what God's doing because I've been obedient in this area." And I can say to you, the same is true of the Sabbath. You wouldn't believe the difference it will make for you when you commit that day to Him, when you stop, when you lay aside your work, and when you rest. When we take Sabbath rest, we get to work from a place of being filled. Everything that happens on that day flows out into those other 6 days of the week. And it's just amazing. We're supplied for everything that's ahead. And again, God is not limitless. And so his limitlessness, when we spend time with him, gets to impact the rest of our life. And we work from a place of rest. We don't work so that we can rest. So what does this look like? You may have noticed that there's four words just down at the bottom of your screen there. Those are words borrowed from Peter Scazzaro's book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And he identifies the Sabbath versus the day off as this. I'm going to try and read this. There's just a few words hidden from my screen. I might be able to minimize just for a second. There we go. So on the Sabbath, we stop. We embrace our limits. We remember the to-do list is always there. And there's a difference between a Sabbath and simply a day off. You probably recognize the day off. I certainly recognize the day off and have had to work on differentiating that from a Sabbath. On the day off, we finish, get done the unpaid work, the errands, the laundry, the yard work. On the Sabbath, it's about rest, doing activities that restore and replenish us. On a day off, sometimes we're doing activities that deplete us and that wear us down. The Sabbath is about doing things that delight you. What brings you joy? Nature, family, food. The day off is often about obligations, things we should get done. And then lastly, the Sabbath is about contemplation, drawing closer to God, increased awareness of his presence, of what he's doing in you, and emotional awareness. We might not like that word, emotional awareness, but you know what? We're in a season where we are being hit with a lot. And people, we have to pause and we have to consider what that's doing to us internally and how God wants to meet us there. A day off, often our tendency is to numb, to fill up on busyness, no time for reflection, processing, or being. So the question is this: how in the world do you Sabbath in a COVID-19 world where everything seems to be, in some of your areas and some of your roles, about rest? Here's just a few tips. Pick a day of the week and treat it differently. So maybe your days have all looked the same since this started. I've joked that right now, every day feels like a Saturday to me. And even this morning, waking up and not having the usual routine of getting out the door, it took me a moment to figure out what day it was. Pick a day, treat it different. Turn off the news. It's okay to turn off the news for a day. The news will carry on without you. Turn off social media if that's what you need to do, because social media is filled with all of this right now as well. Give yourself a break. Talk to God. Just spend time, take a journal, get with him, have a conversation with him. Let him speak to you. He'll speak to you scriptures. He'll speak to you things, next steps, like we talked about last week. Say no to the shoulds. The Sabbath is a day free of obligation. Isn't that an awesome thing? I love that. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly in my head, I need to do this, and I should be doing this, and I should get the house clean, and I should get some meals planned ahead of time. I should get to the office. Take away the shoulds on that day of rest. Say no. What? Say no. You are not indisposable. God can take care of things. Other people are around who can take care of things. For one day, give yourself permission to say, you know what? That's not going to work for me today. Save a cherished activity that gives you delight. So maybe you've got some favorite things and you've been doing them every day of the week right now in this environment. Well, maybe take one of those and say, you know what? I'm going to save that for that special day of time with the Lord. Something that brings me delight. Something that you can look forward to with expectation. Make it a feast day. No self-imposed limits. Now, I'm not saying you should eat 18 jars of jelly beans on your Sabbath. Probably not a good idea. You'll probably pay for that the other 6 days. But take some of the limits away. Enjoy food. Enjoy those things. In the Bible, there were feast days of celebration. And so make your Sabbath a feast day. And then be with yourself, with your feelings and emotions. Ask yourself, what am I mad, sad, glad, or anxious about right now. And bring that to the Lord, bring it to a friend, and of course, bring it via phone, social media, video conferencing, whatever. But just bring that before the Lord and allow yourself time to process those things instead of numbing them and ignoring them. And then lastly, talk to someone who makes you smile. So you probably have that someone. That's the day to reach out. That's the day to spend time with family members and FaceTime them. That's the day to reach out on a phone call. That's the day to go for a social distancing walk in the woods. Enjoy those things. Do things that allow you to stop, rest, bring you delight, and contemplate. One more verse before we get to the closing part. Isaiah 30, 15 to 16 says this. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength, but you would have none of it. You said, no, we will get our help from Egypt. They will give us swift horses for riding into battle. But the only swiftness you are going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. Sounds like us in a typical work week, hey? We need swift horses. We need to get things done. We need to keep going. One of them will chase 1,000 of you. 5 of them will make you all flee. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. Church, let's take the Sabbath seriously. Let's take this as a day where we can wait for his help, where we can take our concerns to him, where we can find rest and strength, where we can be renewed. The Sabbath is meant to be intentional and sweet. Just to quote A.J. Swoboda again, he said, nobody accidentally Sabbaths. We're not walking into a day going, wow, I guess I just had a Sabbath day there. It's an intentional thing. It's an intentional principle to follow. So I want to encourage you. Could we take time during this whole COVID-19, if your schedule has slowed down, could we take time to press the reset button on our Sabbath? Could we let God change our channel in this area? And as always, we've said it every week through this series, prayer is how we fight our battles. This is how we change our channel on this. We get alone with the Lord and we let him bring his counsel, his wisdom into our attitude regarding the Sabbath. Here's some questions for this week. And we're going to post these later in a PDF on our website. You'll find it under Sermon Bulletin. God, is there an area in my attitude that needs to change in regards to the Sabbath? God, what is one way you want me to reshape my Sabbath? And God, what thing do I need to let go of so that I can enter Sabbath rest? So I encourage you this week to take one of those questions, take all of those questions, take your journal, a piece of paper, and begin a dialogue with the Lord. Put your initial, write the question out you're going to ask him, wait for a response and write that down, and just continue in dialogue with him and allow him to bring you to a place where rest becomes a part of your weekly rhythm and routine. Well, church, would you join with me in prayer as we close today? One of the things I want to invite is if you're watching with us and you've never established a relationship with the Lord, if you've never received forgiveness of sins, if you're not certain that you have the promise of an eternity in heaven with him, I want to invite you to respond today. The Bible says we admit that we are sinners. It says in the Bible, all have sinned and fall short of his glory. None of us are perfect other than his son Jesus. And he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for those sins so that we can have a fresh start and be wiped clean. And he was resurrected from the dead so that we are promised an eternity in heaven with him. We simply need to believe in that truth and confess to him that we want him to be Lord of our life. So if that's you, I'm just going to invite you to pray that prayer with me now. And if you do, I'd encourage you, reach out after, send us a private message, send us an email, go to our website, you'll find an email there. We'd love to hear from you. But let me pray with you for salvation. And church, let me pray with you today just about this whole topic of rest and what the coming week holds for you. So Lord, we thank you for your promise to save us. We thank you that you sent your only son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and that you raised him again so we could have an eternity in heaven with you. Lord, today, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 18th time, Lord, and just for myself, Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. Lord, that I need your forgiveness. Lord, I ask you to be Lord over every area of my life. I confess that you are Lord, that you are the one true God, Lord over all. And Lord, I would love to have an eternity in heaven with you. God, would you come into my heart? Would you be Lord of my life? In your name. And Lord, I pray for our church today. Lord, I pray that you would change the channel for each of us in regards to Sabbath rest. Lord, that we would come to you to be refreshed and renewed. God, that we would wait on you. Lord, rather than running and growing weary and fainting, God, that we would come to you and work from a place of rest. Lord, I pray for people in their homes right now that may need a physical healing. If that's you today, church, I encourage you just to put your hand on the spot if you can where you desire the Lord to heal. God, would you heal? You are a limitless God. You are not bound by the confines of internet or space or walls. God, would you heal right now those people who are asking you for a physical touch in their life? God, I pray this week you would bring peace into our homes. Lord, I pray that you would bring hope in this difficult situation. I pray you would bring encouragement, Lord God. Lord, we so desperately need you. Lord, we humble ourselves at your feet and say, God, you know all, you are Lord, and we will submit to your leadership in our world. God, we thank you that you are aware of our needs. We thank you that your presence is with us. Lord, we just pray blessings on each and every person today in your name. Amen. Well, our service is coming to a close, and I'm just going to make sure you can see this here. We have a meeting ID where we invite you now. If you'd like to jump in onto Zoom with us and just connect and say hello if you need prayer or anything like that, Ed and I are going to hang out for a while. So there's a meeting ID just at the bottom of the screen there. If for some reason it's not getting through, shoot us a message and we'll make sure that that gets to you. Also, a reminder that next week is communion. So that's right. Open your cupboards, see what you got in there. Bring those elements with you, something to represent the bread and something to represent the blood of Jesus as we acknowledge the gift that he's paid for us. Well, blessings. Have a wonderful afternoon, church. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll see you soon.